Okay, this hour we're going to take your phone calls with David Sarita, and I may be inclined to do this consciousness test. I'll talk with David a little bit more about that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. David, how do we find a little lab to do a before and after water test for us on this?
Well, I mean, James Fox just went to an independent, you know, toxic study lab to test the water. You know, you can look up city, or you can look up university. Probably universities are one of the best places, so they don't mess with your results. It's probably the best way to do it. But the first thing is just using the eye, because normal rainwater is perfectly clear. So if you see kind of a milky, murky substance, or, you know, when you look at, if you put a little bit of gasoline or a drop of oil in the surface of water, it'll have that little kind of rainbowy color sheen to it.
Sure.
If you see that, that's bad. I mean, I really doubt in California, anywhere in the western United States, you're going to see anything like this. But the next experiment that Dr. Joey Jones did, there's one more experiment he did that I want to talk about, and that is he took a new set of cells exposed to gamma radiation, and this time he stored what William Tiller calls this subtle energy, this healing, you know, psychic energy, in a crystalline mineral solution. And they only put tiny drops of this solution with the intention stored in the solution. I mean, this is miraculous. And all of the times they repeated the experiments, they got the same results. The cells lived 40% longer.
That's incredible.
Up to 40, which is remarkable considering this is the worst case scenario. And what we're dealing with in the Gulf is nowhere near as bad as that.
All right, let's take some calls here, David. They're lining up for you. We will first go to Seaback, Washington, west of the Rockies. Ed, you're up with us. Go ahead, Ed.
Hi, George. Hi, David. The whole oceanic petroleum distillation plant is actually a great theory. My question for you is, what do you think will happen when all the oil that's currently in the Gulf waters gets, like, moved out into the surrounding oceanic areas like the Atlantic Ocean, and, you know, what do you think the long-term effects of that will be?
Well, if we don't skim the oil, I think the next goal is to skim as much oil with these supertankers out of there, and if we can get 100 million gallons out of the water and go deep into the water and actually with long hoses pull some of that oil out, then we will lessen the impact of this fuming and this, you know, transference of these deadly chemicals into the weather systems. So that is what I urge next is, you know, again, you know, we shouldn't have waited this long. We should have been using these super tankers from Taiwan, you know, a long time ago, and we're still not really using them yet. We're just testing them. The time is of the essence here. Once you understand how deadly this stuff is, we need to be extracting the oil. And if they do a good job of that before August, before the real hurricanes come in, then the effects will be less, and that will be good. Now, if a lot of that oil, which is already starting to migrate through the Gulf Stream around the southern tip of Florida, out of the Gulf and up the eastern seaboard, then it's almost too late. The fish will die. The fish will become mutated. You'll get mutated strains of fish and sea life. The coral reefs will definitely die in Florida, in the Gulf, and that's a deep, deep tragedy.
Oh, that is. And then once the plankton goes, look out.
Yeah, once the plankton goes, they're so sensitive. Those microorganisms, they're so sensitive, but they're the base of the seafood chain. So they die, everybody dies.
Next up, we go to Brenda in Old River, Texas, east of the Rockies. Hi, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hello. You've got my attention. We just got through having I'm in Chambers County by the Gulf, and we just got through having a whole bunch of rain. And I asked my neighbor, I said, what happened to your tomato plants? The bottoms of them, I said, you need to water them. He goes, no, I don't. He goes, that happened when we had all that rain. And then now I know why. I don't know if there was two oil spills or what, but they were advertising ExxonMobil $60 an hour to go help clean the oil spill up. Now I know why they were paying so much. And also, I have you answered my question about checking the rain water, but When we were having that rain, I had to go out of town and I had to pack and it was raining and I got drenched. Is there an effect? And I remember, you know, when I got where I was going, I had like a burning itching, you know, on mm-hmm. the back of my hands and the top of my head. And, you know, once I took showered and everything, it stopped. What does it do to your skin if you just get drenched with the rain?
Well, I mean, this is an important call that just came in. We're talking about, you know, the death of tomatoes and the damaging of crops. If you get rained on by this rain, you should shower immediately because hopefully your water table water, the chemicals haven't migrated that far yet. But you need to get filters, I mean, double, triple, quadruple filters on your shower heads before you bathe if you live in some of these most affected areas. But to shower right away is a very good idea. And the burning sensation she's describing is horrible. That's just further proof of how bad this is.
How come the EPA isn't releasing statistics on a publicly large scope?
You know, I think the government, we can obviously see that. They're in a constant state of denial. They deny data. And that is the problem here. And they should be warning the public not to swim in the waters, to be careful of exposure to the rains. But they're just not aware. They're just, you know, this is very simple science, understanding the process of evaporating fuel. Even oil evaporates, even though it's heavy, it evaporates under high temperature and evaporates much slower than the petrochemicals, but it still evaporates.
They probably don't want to wipe out tourism, David.
It's tourism, but it's also, you know, a pandemic of fear and knowing that there's very little the government can do if they're experiencing toxic rains everywhere. And so, again, it just breaks my heart to see, you know, plants and animals and, you know, in Florida after the rains, this kid is showing this video and all the palm trees are dying after a rain instead of thriving and turning, you know, flush green. I mean, this story needs to be told, and thanks to you and this kind of media, it's the only way to get the story out there.
Let's go to Jacksonville, Florida now. It's Marilyn's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Marilyn. Thanks for calling.
Hey, George.
Sure.
Hey, George.
Hi,
hi David. I don't know if you've heard anything about this, but I live within about a block and a half of the St. John's River, and we're experiencing a big fish kill in the river, and they say they don't know what it is yet, but they're taking water samples, and we've had some blue-green algae in the river that has been real nasty for the last few months, but they don't seem to think that that has anything to do with this fish kill that we have here. The fish are just dying, and they're washing up on the shore, and they're on top of the water and all.
Is that unusual, Marilyn?
Yeah.
It is. Okay.
For this much. Now, you'll get, I think every few years, they'll have, like this algae plant that I'm talking about, they lay it to that a lot of times, but this time they're not saying this. So I don't know whether that has anything to do with anything, but I'm about a ninth generation person that lives here in Florida, and this is all kind of scary.
Oh, yep, absolutely. David, you might as well add this to your list of horrific stories.
I'm just so glad these callers are calling in with eyewitness reports. I mean, again, you know, fish kill in North Dakota, fish kill in Florida, fish kill in the Gulf, but that's easy. I mean, you would expect that. But when you're seeing it away from, you're talking about a river here, the caller's calling in, and you're seeing fish kill in the rivers, and that's probably through the rains, the heavy rains, and the migration of the water through that you know, route. But again, more reason to be seriously, seriously concerned here.
Do you know much about this chemical Corexit that they've been
using? Well, the chemical Corexit, I mean, I've seen a photograph of the label on the canisters, and it literally has the most severe warnings about washing your hands and not getting any of it in your eyes because of how deadly and how toxic it is.
I wonder if it breaks down or if it just hangs around for a long time.
Oh, it's going to hang around for a long time. I mean, chemicals don't just wash away. I mean, they wash away in parts per, you know, 100 parts per thousand, parts per billion eventually, and parts per trillion, and then they're less harmful. I mean, if we look at, like, you know, the human body needs minerals to survive. It's what makes our nervous system electrically conductive. But on very, very trace levels of the minerals that we ingest every day is uranium. It is very, very toxic minerals. But in these tiny, tiny amounts, they don't really affect us, and they exist everywhere. There are other chemicals in the petrochemical family of, you know, fossil fuels that are very, very deadly as well. But they're only deadly and can cause death and cancer in large parts per million. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the proof of that from James Fox in the water. And now, you know, we need to do these water glass tests and actually test the parts per million or billion in the water samples.
If you were starving, David, would you eat a genetically modified salmon?
No, actually, I would just go out and eat the juniper berries off the trees in Sedona and some of the apple cactuses. My wife is just, you know, everything we eat has to be organic and not, no GMO, absolutely no GMO.
Let's go to Santa Fe, New Mexico, west of the Rockies. Hey, Luke, go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I'm a research partner of David's.
Super.
I'm a homeopathic practitioner as well.
Luke is my number one research partner.
Yeah, thank you. There was a explosion in Bhopal, India, by Union Carbide, where thousands were killed.
Yep.
But thousands were saved. About 1,000 people were saved because a homeopathic doctor from Bombay rushed to the scene with a suitcase full of homeopathic charcoal. It saved their lungs.
And they ingested it, right?
You take it internally, orally. And it saved their lungs, and he was given an award by Indira Gandhi, right? And Mother Teresa gave him a medal for saving a thousand lives with one homeopathic remedy that he handed out to everybody.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
And there are three homeopathic remedies that work on this type of poison. There's benzinum. For the petroleum distillation products from the gas, from the oil leaks, I mean, the oil, you know, all the, excuse me, the oil pollution, there's homeopathic petroleum and homeopathic carbo-veg, which cleans up the lungs. And I hope that people can get these remedies and use them. You'd administer yourself 2 or 3 doses a day or more, 4 doses a day.
Can people feel this, David? Thanks, Luke. Can people feel this in their lungs when they go outside out there?
Oh, yeah. We have reports on YouTube of people lining up in the hospitals with severe respiratory problems. And like I said, there are even reports of death in small newspapers that don't get reported in the mainstream media. They can absolutely feel it. And, you know, when I was first approached by, you know, my good friend Luke, who just called about homeopathy, I was not really a believer. I said, these tiny little pills, they can do something. These pills don't even have the actual... They have really what's the leftover diluted vibrational memory of that actual chemistry. And, you know, like Dr. Joy Jones' study, he stored these healing vibrations in minerals, crystalline minerals, salt minerals, and then transferred them to another location and put them in a cell that was exposed to a lethal dose of gamma radiation, and it worked. Well, and I actually was really astounded by the effects of homeopathy, which is not something I sell, it's not something I promote or do anything with. But even recently, I got allergies and started sneezing, and Luke called me up and said, oh, take this remedy. I took it, sneezing stopped. How does that happen? Because what quantum physicists are discovering is information is more powerful than energy. Information tells energy what to do. So subtle vibrations, what William Tiller calls subtle energy, is, you know, basically when information rides on a subtle energy wave, if you will, even though it's the tiniest, most super high frequency wavelength, it's telling everything what to do. And that's the way these vibrational medicines really work, and they really do work.
Okay, next up we go to Texas. Rosemary's there along the Gulf Coast. Good morning, Rosemary.
Oh, my gosh, you guys have got me shaking in my boots. I've got my little local newspaper article here talking about BP admits to unprecedented release of deadly chemicals into the air at Texas City Refinery. Now, this is where that gentleman got arrested, the photographer.
Mm-hmm.
Or not arrested, he was detained. And you would not believe what we have here. They admitted that they put over 500,000 pounds of chemicals in the air in Texas City over a period of time. And this was before the deal with the oil leak. And I sure would appreciate to get your take on
that. Know anything about that, David? Thanks.
I don't know anything about the incident, but you know, oil refineries use high temperature steam to distill the fuels out of the crude oil. So even the process of distilling is very, very, very toxic. So, you know, you're talking about a case in Texas where there are oil refineries and where this goes on a regular basis. But whether the case she's talking about is an isolated incident of even more chemicals, I don't know. But obviously, it's very, very deadly.
Man, this has got to be very demoralizing for people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's demoralizing is when your government is doing everything wrong in the chain of command to do the right thing to clean up the oil spill to begin with. And you know, the people seem to know more than the government, you know. If we look at NOAA, they're in charge of the oil spill. And you have people sitting in there in departments that just ignore all this stuff and they just want to retire and go to sleep. I mean, that's what I'm
saying. Yet we've handed it off to BP to do everything.
And we've handed off to BP, who has a vested interest in their own oil spill cleanup technologies. They don't want to hire outside technologies and help. They want to spend the money that they have to spend by law on their own technology so they can pay their own company to do the cleanup. But they're using Corexit, and they're using other chemicals, and they don't want to use these non-toxic, you know, solutions. And they also denied how much oil was there. And one of the ways they did that is by spraying, you know, huge volumes of Corexit so they could dissolve the oil and say, look, it's not really there because we only use the legal amount of Corexit and there's not as much oil as you thought. But obviously when Jacques Cousteau's son went under the ocean, he proved to us with his cameras that all the oil was still there and just tiny, tiny little molecules of it. It all dispersed. But that actually makes it more lethal.
David, pass along your website, please.
My website is voiceentertainment.net and lightstreamtechnologies.com.
Maybe a little bit later on this hour, we can talk about what you're going to be working on in these days. We haven't had any time to do that, David. And you traveling much?
No, I'm staying home because my wife is going to be giving birth to our baby in September.
How about that? Boy or girl, you know yet?
You know, I'm. It's like Christmas. You know, we didn't get.
You didn't want to. You didn't do the amnio, huh?
We just want to be surprised. So,
well, nothing wrong with that.
An organic, healthy baby.
Yep, that's the important thing. Well, David, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast and take final phone calls with you as we talk about the situation at the Gulf. They did cap it today. Let's hope it works. They won't know for a few more days. But we shall find out. We'll be back in a moment with Final Calls with David Sarita and you right here on Coast to Coast AM. You can sign up for StreamLink by going to coasttocoastam.com. You get podcasting, iPhone apps, soon to be Android, and your BlackBerry apps as well. So go ahead and sign up for StreamLink at coasttocoastam.com. Okay, we'll take your final calls with David Sarita in just a moment. David, is there a lesson here about playing around with Mother Nature?
Oh, here's the lesson, George, that I believe, and that is that is it really worth it that we would turn our back on alternative energy discovery, zero-point energy breakthroughs, anti-gravity research, even though many of us believe that our government already possesses this technology? There's so little funding going into these areas of research where I have personally made huge breakthroughs in my own laboratory. I've seen I've taken incredible measurements recently, and I've seen enough evidence recently that I'm convinced I could build a flying saucer. Why aren't we throwing money at everybody who has a good theory and some good data to back it up to pursue this type of energy for our future? Is it worth it? that we should keep going down this road because we're consuming more and more oil, more and more fuel, and it's not slowing down. We decided to create an economy where a home is a life sentence of 30 to 40 years as a mortgage, where a family has to pay an exceeding amount of money on a regular basis. Two cars have to be driving instead of one, like there were in the 1950s and 60s, to go to work and pay for that thing. That's part of the equation that I don't think Al Gore really saw in his Inconvenient Truth, and that is that what causes us to drive so much is we put too high of a price on human necessities, and we don't have to. And that's one of the reasons we're driving so much is this house has to cost so much money. I don't own a home. I don't have a mortgage. I can't afford it, but I feel for the people that do and how they literally break down. They have mental breakdowns to the point that they commit suicide because the burden of this mortgage, the death gauge, is so taxing on the human psyche. And that is why we're driving so much. So for me, I'm really excited about these breakthroughs that are happening in the zero point energy field, and people like Luke Gatto, who called in, which is a miracle for him to get in, is my number one research partner. We know that it's possible. There are several of us that know. You know, I'll throw names like Jamie Buterf out there that nobody's probably ever heard of in this audience. We know that this can be done. We just need to have the funding move into this area. In fact, today there was an incredible article on phys.org that literally just blew my mind. It was posted July 12, 2010. Physicists have discovered how to produce gravity in a vacuum. In a vacuum. Now, what does that mean? Einstein's, this is what I'm about to describe is the reason mainstream physicists don't believe in anti-gravity technology, and that is because gravity has always been proportional to mass, heavy stuff, weight. The planet's gravity, according to mainstream physicists, has nothing to do with the spin and the rotation of that heavy ball of mass. It has to do with its mass. So what happened today in this article that was published on phys.org is that physicists have theoretically proven that they can create gravity with no matter, meaning no mass, with just pure field energy that turns out to be scalar. And when I say the word scalar out there, there's a lot of ears jumping around because a lot of people know what that means. If gravity is not mass, if it's not matter, and if it's really just a very, very, very proprietary way of producing scalar energy fields. And what the study found is that when you add mass to this field, this infield it's called, then you get additional effects are added to the gravity. But the gravity itself has nothing to do with matter. If we can prove this, if this theory can really come to a deeper light in the physics community and really understand it, finally, the mainstream physics community will look at anti-gravity devices that are all about altering the field of matter and take them seriously.
Won't this throw the big...
They don't take them seriously. They say that's impossible to fight gravity because you have to create a lot of mass energy in opposition to the mass of the Earth pulling everything down. And now that's all changed. Einstein's theory of gravity is going to turn on its ear with some of these new discoveries. But the problem in the physics community, even though a theory like this gets published and some of the data gets published, what they do is they fight and they argue, because when you're proving Einstein wrong, it's going to be 20 years before you're really going to gain any ground against, you know, how you really did prove him wrong and why gravity isn't what we think it is. So, but I'm very excited about the article. It's huge news to me. I was just pulling my hair out with excitement when I read it.
Well, don't pull out too much, huh? Let's go to the phones. Omaha, Nebraska, Mary, first-time caller. Go ahead, Mary.
Good morning, George, and good morning to your guests. Thank you for taking my call. I've been trying to get into you since about 2003, and I finally made it.
It's a long time.
I want to make 2 points, one greater point, one lesser point. I want to talk about the fact that you've been hinting at it when you talk about having faith in the physical aspects of the earth that can cure things. But I want to talk about the real being behind this, and that's the creator of the universe and the earth and all that is in between. I believe that he is attempting to tell us something, and many of us are not paying any attention. I feel that we need to give him more credit when we talk about things like this, and by cleaning up our lives, most of all, I think that's the main point he's trying to tell us, because the earth is in such a bad shape, and I think it has to do with our spiritual lives. Truly believing in him alone and giving him the worship and the credit that he deserves. And I feel that these people calling in about being fearful and being upset, all of that would disappear if we put our trust and our faith in the right entity. And plus, he's powerful enough to clean this stuff up in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, he created it all, and I'm certain that if we would have faith in him, he could clean it all up in a little bit of time.
Well, I would hope so, Mary. I would hope so indeed. Kara in Bozeman, Montana on the Wildcard Line. Hi, Kara.
Hi there. Hello, David. So great to talk to you. I'm so glad that you are on the air and spreading this awesome knowledge. First of all, I want to let you know that in Bozeman, in Montana, I've never seen the haziness or just the dirt in the air. I guess, you know, we're experiencing it up here, and it's no wonder. I kind of just really wanted to briefly touch to see if you know of Stephen Quayle. He wrote the book Weather Wars and Unnatural Disasters.
Sure.
My point is, the more that we allow other people to control our weather, the more that they're going to be able to control when they release any sort of neurotoxins into our air. And you touched on kind of gathering a group together, perhaps, on focusing in the next 2 weeks, really maybe calming down our air, the weather, really focusing on cleaning up the air, the water, the soil and the seeds. I mean, with Dr. Masaru Emoto's experiments, that alone should give us enough kind of understanding to kind of focus in the next 2 weeks. Thoughts?
You with us, David?
Oh, yeah. Well, firstly, the caller is calling from Montana, which is west of Texas. It's not an area that I'd expect there to be any toxic rains, because it's all happening, you know, straight up the middle and east. So that's west. And
but it's,
you know,
also been going for the past 87 or 85 days. I mean, you would think with the way that our weather stream works, we would still be able to feel the effects up here, even though they might be a little bit more smaller.
Well, we've seen the effects right next door in North Dakota, what I believe are the effects, because they're so similar in nature to what's happening in some of the other states. I mean, the data is all identical, you know, the burnt leaves, the oily film on the water, but, you know, they're far west of the line that I would expect, you know, it to show up. But we also haven't had our severe, you know, summer rains come through yet, which, you know, typically happen in late July and August and coming into September. So we still have some more time to do these experiments to see where it's all happening.
Tell me about
David,
tell me about this water purification you were talking about.
Well, I'm not talking about any particular form of purification. You know, I use a purification system, although I barely have to in Sedona, because our water is mostly, you know, mineral water here coming from deep underground springs. But, I mean, there are a lot of different, you know, forms of purifying water. But one path through a filter, and a lot of people use water filters, is not going to be good enough in the long term. I mean, it takes a while for the current rainwater carrying toxic chemicals to make its way into your water table and then into your home. But I would have your water checked. I mean, your local township and city should be able to provide you with a report of what's in your water. But I wouldn't even, especially as time progresses and more rains come, I wouldn't even trust those reports. I would go do it yourself at a university or an independent lab and find out. If your water's in danger, triple, quadruple, you know, even five passes of filters. There's a lot of good, you know, water purification companies out there.
Absolutely. Houston, Texas, Douglas's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Douglas, go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I designed a tool the 22nd of May before they sheared off the stem that would have worked properly on transferring the oil to the surface and sealing the stem and the pre-existing leaking area. And I talked to BP about it, and they wouldn't give me a confidentiality agreement or any kind of agreement showing that I was the inventor on it.
Which is all you probably wanted, right?
That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
Because I have some other projects going that I would have used that with, you know, to boost up the project that I'm fixing to market.
Well, they probably figured, Douglas, they've got all these engineers on staff. They all know more than you.
Well,
which is
they're wrong.
Sad.
They're wrong. They won't take a person's idea that thinks outside the box of engineering that they're so limited to. And if they would just take a step back from the table and look at some of these ideas that are coming their way, they could have already solved that problem. I've got another idea for the flange, a way to secure the stem by locking behind the flange and sealing it off. You know, even though they've damaged the stem, I can still secure the oil flow without having any problem of it getting loose in the water.
What do you think of this latest cap, David? Douglas, do you think it's going to work?
Well, I think the cap, the way they've got it screwed together, it might work, but I don't think that they're actually focusing 100% on solving the problem. They're what they're wanting to do is get another well sink right beside that so they can still extract oil while they fill this one up with casing up with cement to secure the pre-existing well and still recover the oil. That's all they wanted was some way to still keep extracting the oil and get the people off their back, even though they've messed everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their whole purpose of saying, well, we can release the pressure, you know, this and this and this and that. We can secure it this way. Well, they could have capped that thing with a good tool and used the oil transfer mechanism that they had in place had they not been so headstrung on
or greedy.
Using their way is the only way.
Well, I understand that, Douglas. That's unfortunate part of all of this, David. I think they could have stopped this some time ago.
I think they, you know, when I heard the oil worker who survived the explosion on 60 Minutes, that the workers advised them to stop drilling, and the executives on the phone said, no, just keep drilling. And
absolutely.
It's like they wanted it to happen. And they could have solved it a long time ago. And it's like, I mean, there are people, conspiracy theories that say, well, this is all just an exercise so that Obama can enforce the carbon tax, because this gives him a motive to enforce it. And, you know, I don't know what to believe. You know, you look at a lot of different theories, but, you know, logic tells me that we could have solved this a long time ago, and we didn't do a good job on the cleanup process. So, and you look at what they're using now, and you think, well, why didn't you think of something like that a long time ago? Why didn't you think of that before this happened as a possible scenario, so you have that in place in case something like this did happen?
Let's go to Magnolia, Texas. Terry's there. Go ahead, Terry.
Hey, George, how's it going?
Okay.
Good morning to your guests there also.
Sure.
I wanted to tell you a little story. It'll take just a couple of minutes here. A year ago, I was working in the ship channel in Houston, and we were building a levee around this island. And what it was, they would take all the material off the bottom of the ship channel and dump it on this island, and we were using it to build a levee. Well, I worked there for 5 months, and in that 5 months, I was exposed to benzene.
Ugh.
And, it just almost killed me. The thing about benzene is, what everybody needs to really pay attention to, is it can harm you And within 72 hours, they can't even find traces of it in your blood, hardly. It just dissipates that quick out of your bloodstream.
Is that good or bad?
It's bad. I mean, because it does its damage, and then it goes away. And
oh,
they
okay.
They can't, you know, tell what it is and what it's done to you.
What happened to you?
Well, I started out, I started getting this rash on my lower extremities, my feet, my legs, and then it just covered my entire body. And, maybe a couple of weeks later on, I could walk down the sidewalk, and I'd just fall out, just, you know, pass out, black out, and my heart rate would get real high. And then my blood pressure, one day my blood pressure would be real high, the next day it'd be extremely low, and that's part of benzene poisoning. I've done a lot of research on it. And like I say, these, you know, if these people are working down there, they really need to watch it. I heard a deal on the news the other day where they were saying that a lot of the cleanup people on the beaches and everything were beginning to get lesions on their legs and all of that.
Yeah.
Now, see, they've got the advantage. They were wearing Tyvek suits. I didn't have that. You know, I was just, blue jeans and you know, steel-toed boots.
Got you straight.
Right. But it's been a year ordeal. It's devastated me financially and everything. It's just, you know, I was working for a company, and there again, it's big companies that win in this situation. You know, I was up against the Army Corps of Engineers, the Houston Port Authority, and the TECQ here in the Houston area. And, you know, you just can't go up against those people. And they could care less if I die, I'd be honest with you, you know. But that's my story. So.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that for us. About a minute or so to go, David. So what do you think we need to do right now?
I think what we need to do right now is use every skimmer we have, superpower skimmers, to get as much of that oil out of the Gulf as we can before the rains come. That's our biggest danger right now.
All right, very good. David, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, George.
Appreciate it. David Sarita's website will be linked up at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, 2 hours, floating format tonight, we are going to be talking about a fellow who had an OBE experience, but he believes he saw hell. It's called 23 Minutes in Hell, and we will be talking about that. Then for the rest of the week, some great shows for you. Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw from Life Extension will be talking with us on our Tuesday program about some incredible anti-aging research and brain chemistry. Lawrence Joseph joins us as he talks about preparing for 2012. On Thursday, who's behind the secret door? But we'll be right back as we talk about 23 Minutes in Hell.